Okay, I saw yesterday something I just want to share with you because it was a new machshava to me. It says Elul. Elul is we know that Elul is the famously Elul is there's a remez for Ani Ledoidi V'Doidi Li, which is in the sixth page of Shir Hashirim. That's what Elul. Besides the real Pavilion and name, it's Aramaic Bavel is a name, but besides that, it's also a remez for Ani Ledoidi V'Doidi Li. Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed. Anile Doidi, I go towards Doidi, towards my clothes, towards my Rebbeinu Shloilam. If I do my step, I go towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu surely will go back to me. Anile Doidi v'Doidi Li. Very nice. There's another one, the Rishonim also bring out another place, another Pasuk. And that is, Umar Hashem is Levavcha, Bez Levav Zaracha. And I think it might come from the Ramban or other Rishonim, certain other Rishonim. Umar Hashem is Levavcha, Bez Levav Zaracha also is Lamed, Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed. Umar Hashem, S, Levavcha, S, Levav Zaracha. Aleph Lamed, Vav Lamed. Which obviously is referring to the Pasuk, Umar Hashem is Levavcha, Hashem is going to Malas to get us close to Hashem. Umar Hashem is Levavcha, Ves Levav Zaracha, and also our children. So I just want to bring a knatch to this, that it's, whilst it's really referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is going to bring us closer to Him, at the same time, it's also that we have to make that step. We have to do that milah, that bris, that step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Pasuk simultaneously also says, as Levavcha, your heart, we have to kind of work on our heart, purify our heart, but also Levav Zarcha, also our children. The only way we can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if we do together with, we have to do in a way that is also with our children. It's not the kind of thing that you do and leave the kids behind and you do, you know, what happens. It's a kind of avoid that us with our families have to do together. Levav Zarcha, together with us. And I think that's what the apostle brings forth. Right, okay, I want to, now, I believe we are up to Siman Tov Kuf Zayin. If somebody listened to the show yesterday, I recalled the show a few weeks ago, so please correct me if I'm wrong. I went up to page 244. Is that what we're up to? Okay, good. So, these halachas that we're discussing are about Din Afir B'Yom Tov. It's referring to the halachas of Afir, of baking on Yom Tov. And this halacha specifically is actually referring to an old-fashioned oven which don't exist anymore nowadays, about the way it was, the baker's oven that we used. I want to say that we're going to go through this sieve, but it's very interesting that it's going to be a very unexpected place that we're going to find a very relevant halacha, which is nogea to our dining rooms on a regular Yom Tov. Very interesting. So once we've got to appreciate that it's talking about ovens, we will see that it actually is can be applied to the way we clear up and we clean up our dining tables on a regular Yom Tov. Let us see. So the halacha is Tanu Shenafal Lesoichoi Mitiach Hatet. So this is really referring to a tanu, an old-fashioned oven. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkoten Tes Zayin Tanu Shenofal. What is this talking about? Ma'ir betalurim shbemei chachmei hashas. This is referring to the ovens in the times of Chazal. Kinnim Sam Lekmeaz is actually explained later on in Shulchan Aruch. Show you k'moy kadeil. They used to be like a pot, like a saucepan. They used to look like that. The pas and the bread that you are baking, how you toichin bekoisle atano, used to stick the unbaked dough onto the walls of that oven, and that's the way you would bake. So imagine you have a really hot saucepan, and that and the coals would be in the bottom, but the way you would bake, you take the dough and you'd stick it onto the sides. And that's the way it would be heated and warmed and eventually baked. That's the way it would work. Once it's fully baked, you pull it off the walls of the oven. Now, so continues the Shulchan Aruch. So, Tanu Shenofal Esoicha Metoachatet. What happens if the tanu, what happens if now some of the, so you made out of plaster, It was made out of plaster. It would actually be plastered. If some of the this was plaster, and if the plaster would come down, so what are you meant? Are you allowed to move this plastered? This plaster, you have to move it. So the halacha is as follows. If you can just continue baking, roasting for that matter, without touching the plaster which fell now into the coals in the bottom, you can just leave it, if you can. And the bread that you're baking is not going to get burnt. Or what you're trying to roast is not going to get burnt. Also, for you may not touch this plaster that fell into the coals. Why? Because by moving this plaster, you're actually moving mukta. You're not allowed to move it for no purpose. You can continue baking this baked dough on the sides without any further negative consequences. So just leave it. Don't move this plaster which fell which fell down. Avol, mutal hashkivaish, what you're allowed to do is if it's gonna be too high, it's now this pile of coal and plaster is a bit too high. Mutal hashkivaish for efa shaboy kidesh cholok, you're allowed to make it even, shvloiga paskal. That's a really important point, we're gonna get to that in a minute. If the pile of coal, imagine you've got this round pot, oven. You plastered onto the sides the dough, that's where the bread is being baked. So, and now in the bottom though, the coal and the plaster is piled up and is heaped up. Now, if it's going to touch the dough, what's going to happen to the dough? It's spoiled. It's going to be spoiled. It's going to get spoiled. It's going to get burnt. It's going to get all stony and bad. And you won't be able to eat it. So if it touches it, you're allowed to move down and make even the coals. It should be even. For loyga pastel, it shouldn't touch the bread. So if you're going to, even if it's not going to get burnt completely, it's not going to ruin and spoil the bread altogether, but nevertheless, you're allowed to move the coals down. He goes without saying, says the Shulchan Aruch, that if this plaster and the coals is going to burn the bread, if he touches it, although the fire can still be used, but at the end of the day, since you are burning the bread, you're allowed to move the coals down, because that's considered, which is permitted on Yom Tov. So let's get this clear. We are allowed to move the coals. If you're concerned that these coals and this plaster, which is lower down, is going to spoil the dough, you're allowed to move it. It's considered teltul atzerich. To move the coals, stam, you may not. But to move the coals in an instance that it looks like it's going to burn your bread, you're allowed to do that. The Mishnah Berurah says, "In Seif Katan Yud Zayin, Mutar Shul Metalteloi Varihu Muktzah Does in Roy Shum Dava, because this plaster has got no purpose. The plaster, correct? Yeah, correct. It's a plaster which is now on top of the coals. Thank you for pointing out. The plaster is Muktzah. You're allowed to move the plaster around. Now, if the plaster is going to spoil the bread, it's going to ruin it. You're allowed to move the plaster around because that's Muktzah. But now here comes the point. It sounds so unexpected, but it's a fantastic chiddush here. What happens if this plaster is not going to ruin the bread altogether, but this plaster, which is on top of the coals, is going to not ruin the bread, but it's going to make it not as nice? It's not the warmth that you require. It's not the heat that you need. It's just not right. It's not quite right. Are you allowed to move the plaster? Yes or no? It's not going to get burnt.
Is
Very good. Absolutely fantastic. That's exactly the point. So the Mishnevua says over here, Sivkotn Chof, Hoyev Shalev Oizvilik, says Oizvilema Shloi Nisaf, in Sivkotn Chof Aleph, we see this fantastic Chiddush. We're going to see how incredibly relevant it is for us on every single Yom Tov. Techoshiv Tilkul Etzorich, Kifi Shivu Lekamon Sof Simon Tov Kuf Tes, Vagob, Temutel Letaltel Mukta Letzorich Oichal Nefesh. Here comes a grand Chiddush, which cannot be overemphasized, that there is a heter here. Yes, you may move the plaster, despite the fact that it's mukta. You may move it because it's oichal nefesh. I want to have nicely baked bread. I want to have it just right. This plaster is spoiling it to some limited extent. So that will go into the category and into the permission and heter of oichal nefesh. I'm therefore now allowed to move this mukta item to oichal nefesh. Now, comes up Shlomo Zalman and asks the following Shaila. Gentlemen, I don't know what your Yom Tov table looks like after the meal. I do know what mine looks like. If it looks like there was like a war or, you know, like some sort of atomic bomb or something. So that's pretty much. So now, the fact that there's going to be items there. I am not referring, let's get this clear. I'm not referring to items which are within the category of mos. Something which is, what's the elegant word for disgusting? Repulsive. Is that it? Repugnant, yeah. So I'm not referring to that. That anything that has got a heter anyway. Allowed to move mukta, which is very, you know, the typical example is a nappy. You're allowed to use nappy of a baby. That's a typical example of something which is anyway. You're allowed to move that. It's permitted to move that. It doesn't go into category of mukta. Now, I'm not referring to those kind of items. I'm talking about, let's say, plastic cups. All right. It's not very appetizing, but there's nothing wrong with it. You know, we go through it. Yeah. Used plastic cutlery. Yeah, that's a good example. Used plastic cutlery. You wouldn't. It's not. Right, it's dirty. It's used, but it's not repulsed, I'm saying. No. You're not going to eat from it. You're not going to use it. But it's not something which is within the same category of Gav Shalei. The question is now, you've got those kinds of items on the table. Used. Well, it would be in the same category. It's not repulsive, but it's not particularly appetizing. You want to now move it, not because you need the space. Let's identify. They have no purpose anymore for you.
I could use it.
You are not going to, you know, most people will not use a disposable a second time round. I know my mother-in-law, she does. But I think that most people within our generation will not use a disposable a second time.
Does that make it automatically mukta?
So it's usable, but it's not used. So the question is this something which are you allowed to? So there is anywhere heter. If you would need the space, you'd be allowed to move it anywhere. But if it's not, you're not going to use the space now. All you want is to clear it off to make the table nice and tidy. Are you allowed to move it? And this is a real shaila. Can you move on Yom Tov? Let's speak about Yom Tov. Can you move on Yom Tov all those items away from the table just to make it look tidy? These are mukta, potentially. Are you allowed to? Is there a heter to do that?
Yes.
Why? Cover Yom Tov, respect on. Okay. Good. So, whilst you're right, if Shlomo Zalman looks at it with his goyness, if Shlomo Zalman's unparalleled genius, he brings him a koy for this heter, this very halach over here. I wouldn't have thought of it. I don't know how many would have. But if Shlomo Zalman thought, you know what? If you're allowed to move the plaster which fell down, not because it's not ruining the bread, it's not ruining it. The only reason why you're to make it nice and better, to do it letzorich oichal nefesh, you have to move it letzorich oichal nefesh. So it says also here, you have to move it letzorich oichal nefesh. It's considered making the Yom Tov more dignified and more covetic, and that's why you have to move it. I don't know. I don't know. I imagine that on Yom Tov. Pardon?
You find that bed if you don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not muktza though. It's not muktza. He wants to. He goes so far that he really has an issue with the plastic cup being muktza. Beddings is never going to be muktza. So he looks at different categories. He says, now that you've used your plastic cups, what's the heter? I also believe that on Shabbos it's permitted. It must be another heter on a different angle. It could be that he says you should do it kilachayad the shinu. I'm not sure, but as far as Yom Tov is concerned, he categorically allows it within the heter of Ratzoy Chol Nefesh. I think that's a goyin shechap of Shlomo Zalman. He says that's within Oichel Nefesh because it makes the it makes it more. His nusach is the way he brings it is letzorich kotten avu achile be yomtev. It's needed for the meal on yomtev that looks more dignified. Yeah, it's a bit far, it's a bit stretched. I agree, but he does look at it within the tzorich of the achile. Interesting.
I'm not planning on eating again. I've had my meal.
Yes. So what is the
Oichel Nefesh? Yeah. Environment.
Yeah. He's fine to stretch that Oichel Nefesh that far, which is a chiddush in its own right. Yeah. I hear that. Right. Okay, gentlemen. I wish you a very good evening. Just before we end off for today, is somebody we I know it's had a bit of a break, but yet if we can reintroduce the Thursday Chabura as element, somebody prepared to step. Step in. Are we on? Yeah, Bilbert Valter, either connect or not connect to the he'll come. Yeah? Yes, great. Thank you very much. We're looking forward. Very good. Excellent. That's really nice. Thank you.